I'm afraid we're entering into dangerous times. We've got a week left till Christmas. All the shops are full of bells and red and white fur, and this is the time of year when it's very easy to become complacent to the real story of the birth of Jesus Christ. We are so familiar with it that often this time, more than any time in the year, we can fall into a rut, immunized to the reality of the real stunning event of the coming of Christ, God in human flesh. I hope this morning we're going to wipe that away, turn our thoughts back for a moment, a couple of thousand years to Bethlehem, help us to see this nativity scene and event in entirely different eyes. If you have your Bibles, I'd like you to turn with me this morning over to the Gospel of Luke, this time to the first chapter of Luke, Luke chapter 1. We want to begin in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God, nothing will be impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I'm convinced this week that if we're going to have a Merry Christmas, we're going to have to understand Mary's Christmas. Because what happened to Mary shook her up. It put her in a place of shattered dreams. It gave her open criticism. There was whispers, no doubt, about her morality and questions even from the man she loved. Her life was turned upside down. Maybe some of us, you can relate to Mary this morning. Your life's upside down. Perhaps you're living with some major disappointment. You might be right in the middle of a relational rupture, or perhaps your marriage has blown up. Some might be processing devastating health news. And I'm guessing some of you have no idea how you're going to pay for all those presents under the tree. Maybe you wonder if your prodigal child will ever turn around. A handful of you perhaps can't stand your job, but you feel trapped and no, if you left it, you couldn't find another. Maybe you just feel really sad. Maybe you can't sleep at night. Maybe you're just overwhelmed with just life. Perhaps someone close to you has died. Maybe anger is eating you up. Maybe you feel like you've never really been loved. When you think about it, most of the images that we see of Mary in old paintings always depict her as being so serene, so distant, with this halo of white around her head. But as we read this story this morning, I think we need to remember that this Mary was just a teen. She was rocked by an angelic encounter. Not old enough to get a driver's license, probably. Probably faced everything that a normal teenager would have faced in that time, in that culture. One preacher was putting on a Christmas pageant, and he had a teenage girl playing the part of Mary, and this is what he wrote about her. She was holding baby Jesus with all the affection she would hold a chemistry book. Treated Joseph with disdain and was chewing gum. Her parents were horrified, but I think she got it exactly right. Mary is not a perfect saint. She is perfectly human. And unless we see ourselves in Mary, we miss a major part of Christmas. Let's look this morning at some ways that Mary reacted to these unfolding events in her life. Let's first look at her reaction. Go back with me if you hear it. Luke chapter 1. She was troubled. Look in verse 28. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." If you're reading from the Old King James, use the word, instead of rejoice, use the word hail. In Hebrew, it would be shalom. The emphasis is on the Lord being with Mary, not on any merit that Mary may have warranted. But look at verse 29. "But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was." Trouble means to be thoroughly confused. I bet she was. Mary was mixed up. She didn't think of herself as one that was exceptional. She surely didn't think of herself as one who was highly favored. She more than anyone knew her shortcomings. Yeah, she was troubled. But it also says she was afraid. Now, come on. If an angel appeared to me, if an angel appeared to you, would you be afraid? She's contemplating the implication of an angel of God coming before her and revealing all this stuff to her. Listen to these words in verse 30. "Then the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God.'" Mary was troubled. Mary was afraid. But Mary was also uncertain. I think it's natural when we're troubled and when we're afraid to be uncertain about everything. But look at the words here beginning in verse 31. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." I bet Mary was confused about how all of this was going to work out. So she turns to the angel in verse 34 and says, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" In a sense, hold on, angel. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you are. But what did you say? All this business, I think, about what the baby will become and who the baby is and even what the baby will be named probably shot right over her head. She still hung on that phrase, "You will conceive in your womb." I'm not a girl, but I would think that would be a perfectly natural question to ask. Mary's engaged. Mary's not married. And she saves herself for her husband. How then can she become pregnant and have a son? Now, Mary's troubled. Mary's afraid. And Mary is uncertain about what she's heard. But look how she handles the news. Let me share something with you that I found very helpful when dealing with discouragement and disappointment. Sometimes we can't control our immediate reaction, but we can control our ultimate response. But we just can't help it. Somebody does something, says something, we're confronted with something, and we become angry, we become upset, we become bitter, we become sad, we become frustrated, or whatever. Life deals us a bad deal, and we have an immediate reaction. But your initial reaction does not have to be your ultimate response. There is a fresh reminder here in this story, and it's found in verse 37. It's really a summary, a benediction, if you would. It's the bottom line. It is all that God, through Gabriel, really wanted to say to Mary. Luke 1:37. "For with God, nothing is impossible." Literally, that means, "For no word from God shall be void of power." In other words, God can do anything. God can do everything that God determines He wants to do. I like the wording of one of the paraphrased translations. It goes like this: "For no other promise of God can fail to be fulfilled." Stay with me here. Mary's ability to respond correctly has everything to do with this reminder that with God, nothing is impossible. I think if Gabriel had not said that, if that was not a part of the story, I think Mary would have had a very hard time in dealing with this correctly. And I think there's a lesson here for us too to learn, like Mary learned. That is, no matter how messed up your life may be, nothing is impossible with God. This story parallels another story. Way back in the Old Testament, you recall the occasion in which the angel of God came to Sarah and to Abraham? A little different in that Mary's a young teenager and Sarah's an older lady beyond childbearing age. Over in the book of Genesis, in chapter 18, verse 14, the words are these: "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Similar way to say, "For with God nothing is impossible." See, the words are similar, but Sarah and Mary's response were complete opposite. You recall Sarah laughed when the angel said, "You're going to bear a son." Whereas Mary lowered herself as a servant and surrendered herself to God. All these stories are here for a purpose. Maybe they're here this week, this day, for us to say, what about us? How do we respond in the face of trials and difficulties in our life? Do we become cynical towards God? Do we laugh at God? Or do we submit to God? remember, I can't always control my reaction, but my ultimate response is my responsibility. Let's see what Mary's response was. First, she offered herself as a servant. Now, get the picture here. Gabriel, the angel of God, is kneeling before you, and you're Mary, pleading for you to remember that in spite of your initial reaction, nothing is impossible with God. Will you respond like Mary responded? Let's look at Luke 1, verse 38. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Essentially, she's simply saying, whatever the Lord has for me is what I want. Here I am. Do what you will with me. But it's interesting. She says, maidservant. That's the lowest kind of female slave. And I think Mary is settling an issue in her life that she existed solely for fulfilling the will of God. A maidservant. I read that and I say, I'm not a lady, but could be a manservant. Maidservant, manservant. Have I ever said something like that to the Lord? Have I ever said to the Lord that I surrender my life to you? Whatever your will for me will be my will. I'm available for your purpose, for your plan, regardless of how difficult it may be and how I don't understand a word of it. But with God, nothing is impossible. Mary offered herself as a servant. And then notice that she didn't just say that. She then responded, moved very quickly. She wasted no time in doing what needed to be done next. Verse 39 says, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah." Here's the principle. When we know what God's will is for us, we go. When we know, we go. No room for spiritual slackers in service to the Lord. I read that and I said, I wonder how many of us this morning are just kind of going through the motions. It's Christmas. But that's no big deal to many. Maybe we've just been living our life, rolling along, not giving a whole lot of thought to the future and what the Lord wills for us. Maybe it's time for us to get out of the recliner, to get up off the couch and out of the chair. Maybe it's time to go find out what the Lord wants us to do, and when He says do it, we do it. I can't always control my reaction, but my response is my responsibility. Mary sought out a mentor. Don't miss this fact. I think it's important. She spent time with an older relative. She went to Elizabeth. She needed some comfort, some support, some understanding. And Elizabeth reaffirmed to her everything that the angel had said, encouraged her. Same thing had just happened to her. Here comes John the Baptist, ready or not. That gave Mary time to process and to pray. Look what Elizabeth's influence is upon her. It's summarized in chapter 1 of Luke, verse 45. "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." I look around this congregation, I see some older women and older men. People who have been through the struggles of life, people who have raised families perhaps, children, been there, done that. Maybe this message is also to you young folks, the Marys and the Josephs out there. Seek out a mentor of an older person or older couple. Don't just sit back. Develop a relationship. Benefit from their experience and their wisdom. Seek out somebody who is wiser than you. Remember, I can't control my reaction, but my response is my responsibility. Mary sought a mentor, and then she gave glory to God. It's important to give glory to God. No matter what you're going through, sometimes I think we're just too busy in life to stop for a moment and say, thank you, Lord. With you, nothing is impossible, and I see it working out in my life. There's a whole dissertation, we might even call it a song, Mary's song, if you will. It's found here in Luke chapter 1. It kind of begins in verse 46 and meanders down through verse 55. We're not going to read it all, but in your home study, please do. Just look at the opening stanza here, verse 46 and 47. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior. Back again, Mary was a young teenager, offered herself as a servant, moved very quickly, sought out a mentor, and gave glory to God. I can't always control my initial reaction, but my ultimate response is my responsibility. And then Mary reflected very carefully. I think it's interesting to look at Christmas through Mary's eyes. A lot of stuff happened to her. And she took time to think and to reflect on all that was happening. Different words are used to describe that. I read it, Craig read it over in the second chapter of Luke, for example. In verse 19 it says, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Mary kept all of these things. Yeah, she remembered. They were etched in her mind forever. But that verse also says, and she pondered these things. Other translations say treasured. Others say thought about often. She didn't just recall what had been taking place, but it was being turned over and over and over again in her mind daily. Look down in verse 33 of chapter 2 of Luke. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Marvel, to admire, to wonder. Yeah, there's still much to give careful reflection to. Oh, her initial reaction, quite different than her ultimate response. For Mary came to realize that you can't always control your reaction, but my response is my responsibility. Mary's reality is important. If somebody ever comes up to you as a Christian and says, is living the Christian life easy or hard? How would you answer? In a lot of ways, it's easy. But I think in some ways, we do a disservice to a young babe in Christ when we say, just become a Christian and you'll always be happy and clear sailing blue skies. I imagine Mary was still pondering those words we read in Luke 2, verse 34, where it said, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. You know, really, at this time of the year, there are two camps. Jesus is either the rock that you're going to build your life on. Maybe that's the sense of the rising. Or Jesus is the rock that you will stumble over. Maybe this is the sense or the meaning of falling. You can't be neutral. You're on one side of the fence or the other. You're either for him or you're against him. You're either moving closer to him or you're moving further away from him. You either have the Son or you don't have the Son. There's no fence straddling. Later in verse 35 of chapter 2, when Simeon had talked to Mary, he throws in this little phrase that I'm sure she marveled and pondered it. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also. How could a little teenage girl know what that meant? A sword will pierce through the soul of Mary also. Well, I'm sure there were moments. Wonder what it was like to raise the Son of God. Wonder what she thought when he was chasing around the temple at 12 years of age and she thought he was lost, kidnapped, or something bad had happened to him. Wonder what it felt like when he turned the water into wine at the wedding reception and kind of sort of rebuked his mom, saying, "It's not my time yet. Mind your own business," in other words. Wonder what it was like to be Mary at the foot of the cross and to look up and see your son hanging. We move from reaction to response to reality. What do we receive from this story this morning? It says, with God, nothing is impossible. Oftentimes, I think God calls us to do more than we think we can do. God never calls us to do more than he can do. Maybe when you just face something that you just think is insurmountable, you need to remember what the angel said in Luke 1:37, "For with God nothing will be impossible." Maybe you need to reflect for a moment on Christmas through the eyes of Mary. Maybe a simple lesson. God uses ordinary people who are available, who are willing, and who are obedient. Mary was ordinary. She was available. She was willing. She was obedient. Have you surrendered to the Savior like that? Maybe there's a second lesson as we look at Christmas through the eyes of Mary. And that is sometimes God just shatters all of your dreams so that he can give you a whole set of new ones. I'm sure as she rode on that donkey going to that census, she had no idea what lay ahead. And I'm sure when Gabriel had come to her and said, "You're going to have a son by God," her head was still spinning. Even when she looked at the cross and saw her son. Are you holding on to a dream that God wants you to let go of so that he can give you a new one? God loves to call us in unexpected ways to accomplish his will. Another thought. Maybe Mary's lesson for us this morning is to do what God tells you to do, even if it doesn't make sense. Oh, we want details. Before I go, God, I want details. Where am I going? How long I got to be there? And what's it going to cost me? But God said to Mary, "This is my plan for you." And Mary said, "Okay. Your will be done." Maybe you're in that kind of dilemma right now. You know that the God is calling you to do something different, out of your comfort zone. More than you think you can handle, and you're holding back. Maybe Mary is simply saying to you this morning, obey him, yield to him. Maybe there's a last message here. It's one we all need to know. We are a sinner, all of us, and we all need a Savior. That little babe became the Savior for Mary, for you, for me. We can't always control our reactions, but our response is our responsibility. With God, nothing is impossible. This morning, he wants to be your Savior. He says, "Come to me through faith, through repentance of your sin, through confessing that you believe that Jesus is the Christ. Be immersed, wipe out those sins in that watery grave of baptism. Rise up as a new creature in Christ and yield to him." Come if you will as we stand and sing this morning.